So, we are continuing through Romans, and we come to our split reading. And in the first part of our reading, Paul is being quite honest and transparent. If you've got your Bibles open, then please look at verses 15 to 16 in Romans 7, where Paul says, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree, the law is good. Who, other than me, has done or said things that they thought, why did I say that? Why did I do that?" I think if we're honest, we can all relate to what Paul is saying here. Why did I do that thing? Why did I say that? It's wrong. And now, I feel bad. But a bad feeling can be quite good. As we should feel bad if we've done stuff that is wrong or would not please our Lord. Paul goes on to say in verse 17, "As it is, it's no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is, in my sinful nature. For I have desire to do what is good, but cannot carry it out." Paul is talking about a battle going on. A battle going on within himself and within every believer. And don't forget, Paul is talking to Christians here. I was speaking to someone recently about this passage, and they said, "So it's not my fault that I sin. It's not my fault that this happens." And really, it's not your fault. But it is your fault. It's your fault because you need to battle. You need to partake in that battle, in that war. If you think about any war, it's performed of battles. And I said to this person something along the lines of, okay, if you can put your sin in the three camps, how's it going? I said, I've won the first one. So battle number one's done. If you like, the Allies have got over the channel and they're bridgehead in Normandy. And how's battle number two going? Well, I think I'm winning now. So they're getting close now to the border of Germany. What about battle number three? I'm not really engaged in that one yet. But they're getting that way. You see the point. The battle we have to engage in. We cannot let sin take over. And then Paul says, "It's no longer myself, but sin living in me. And I know what good is, I know what is good and what is not good for me. But we all have a sinful nature. I want to do good, but I fail. I'm only human. It's not my fault. But yeah, it is my fault." Now, last week, we covered what sin was in the Bible. And it's not just murder and stealing. And let's remind ourselves. So please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. And remember that Paul is talking about what Christians should do once they have accepted Christ as their Saviour. And Paul says from verse 20 that however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, many may say, I've been a Christian all my life. But if you've never, with your own mouth, given your life to Jesus and said, I am truly sorry for all that I have done, which is wrong, and I turn to you, Lord Jesus, Lord, be the Lord of my life, then if you've never said these words or similar to them, then you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. I'm sorry, you may be a good person, you may be a nice person, but unless with your own voice you have said to Jesus, be my Lord, I will follow you, and really meant it, you are not in Christ. Are you willing to be the Lord's servant? Tim Keller, in his book Hidden Christmas, says this. He said, decades ago, I heard a talk at a Christian conference on turning our lives over to Christ and doing his will, not our own. Two questions were put to us, he says. First was, are you willing to obey anything the Bible clearly says to do, whether you like it or not? And the second was, are you willing to trust God in anything he sends into your life, whether you understand it or not? He goes on to say, if you can't answer these two questions in the affirmative, you may believe in Jesus in some general way, but you have never said to him, I am the Lord's servant. Keller goes on to say that he believes that these questions are accurate indicators of what Christians are being asked for. And I must say that I agree with him. And in our reading in verse 19, Paul goes on to say, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. The sin living in me. If we had accepted Jesus, then our body is a battlefield. And there's a war going on within us, for good one side and for evil on the other side. And sin entered through one man, Adam. And that sin came down through humankind, through men. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12 to 14, Paul clearly talks about Adam's sin leading to an almost spiritual disease affecting all humanity through Adam. And I was reminded by our link partner, Chris Perdacci, on Monday, that the reason Jesus had to be born of a virgin was because of that sin that ran from Adam through to now. And by Mary giving birth to Jesus as a virgin, he, Jesus, had no sin at birth and was and is sinless. The only person that is, we are not. As we learned last week, sin may help you achieve your objectives, but it wants to reign over our lives. And its reign is one of death. give your life to Jesus and fight that battle with the help of the Holy Spirit. If you are unsure, if that is you, come and see me after the service. Or join our Alpha course, which started this Saturday, but it's still not too late to join and discover more about following Jesus. Now, in the second part of our reading comes the hope and the fact that we are more than this. If we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. But first, a brief update on the missing 30 verses, verses 21 to 31. Paul is saying there is no condemnation because in Jesus we are set free by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has given us new life. We should no longer desire what the world wants or what the world does not want. A person governed by the world, by the flesh, is hostile to God, is an enemy of God. In other words, are we in Christ and with him, or are we against him? There are only two options, for or against. If the Holy Spirit lives in you, you will be different. And we spoke about this also last week. And even though we who are in Christ are weak, the Spirit will help and guide us. Paul says we have an obligation to God and to ourselves to live by God's law and not by the world's. For those who are led by the Spirit of God, he says, are the children of God. We are free to be sons and daughters of God. And all that that means, and what it means, is to be the family of God. Paul also goes on to say that if we are suffering now, do not worry. It will be as nothing compared to the glory of God when Jesus returns. Paul says in verse 24, for in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait patiently for it. And he goes on to say, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, and that the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And in verse 28 he says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. So, that brings us to the second part of our reading from Romans. And Paul starts to really get positive in verse 31. And he says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Let's be honest. Do you want the creator of the universe to be on your side? The person who created you and me. And I know some of you are probably looking at me, thinking at this moment, perhaps God does make mistakes. After all, look at him. But I can assure you that God doesn't make mistakes. I am how God made me to be, as awkward as that is. God is the person who loves us. He loves us, each one of us, despite ourselves. In verse 32, Paul says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God loves us all so much that he did not spare his own son. But that son, Jesus, came to be born a baby, and remember, a sinless baby, to live as a human, not in a palace, but in the dirt and the dust, to work with his hands, to die a death on a cross, that awful, most awful way of dying, and to be whipped and insulted because of you and because of me. And God done that but us? Will he not give us all things that are good for us? Now, that may not be all things that we want. There is a difference here. I'm sure those of us with children would quite agree. Our children may want something, but it may not be good for them. And our Heavenly Father is just that, our Father. So we may not get all that we think is good for us. But we will get all things that our Heavenly Father thinks are good for us. Paul says in verse 33, "Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." God has chosen you and me, each one of us. All we have to do is choose to follow Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If we do choose Jesus, there is no one to condemn us. Because although the enemy, the devil, may try, and ungodly people will try, God will not listen to them. And it says in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 2, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death." God knows the truth. Jesus, our Saviour, died for us, and most importantly, was raised to life so that we may know that death is defeated. And Jesus is now at the right hand of God and is pleading for us, is interceding for us. And in our reading, Paul goes on to say in verse 35 and 36, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." Nothing can separate us. We who have chosen to follow Christ cannot be separated from him. And for him, we should be willing to put up with anything, because it will all be worth it. On Monday, with Chris and Veronica, we were talking about persecuted Christians around the world. People who stand up for their faith and are willing to die for that faith. And did you know that Coptic Christians have a tattoo on their wrist? When they're baptised, they then go and get a tattoo of a cross on their wrist. Coptic Christians are mostly in Egypt, a Muslim country. They wear their faith, literally, on their body. There is no hiding place for them. Paul goes on in the last part of our reading to really encourage us. And he says in verse 37, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ our Lord." Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Well, only one thing. Us. We are the only thing that can separate us. But as I said, if we choose to follow Christ, and stick to it, we cannot be parted from him. And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit loves us. And Jesus said in John 14, if you have known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8, a well-known passage, Paul describes what love is. But if you look at that passage, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 to 8. If you look at that passage and read it, as Matthew Porter in his book A to Z of Discipleship said, and replace the word love with Jesus, you get what the Father, Son and Holy Spirit are. What God is, because Jesus came to show us exactly what God is like in the flesh. So it will read, Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy. Jesus does not boast. Jesus is not proud. Jesus does not dishonour others. Jesus is not self-seeking. Jesus is not easily angered. Jesus keeps no record of wrong. Jesus does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Jesus always protects. Jesus always trusts. Jesus always hopes. Jesus always perseveres. Jesus never fails. Nothing can separate us from God but ourselves. God loves us. What is our response? As I said, if you want to give your life to Jesus or to reaffirm your faith in Jesus, you may want to say a prayer, giving your life to Christ. If you see me after, I have a prayer that you can say. Or if you want to know more in general, come along to the Alpha course next Saturday morning at 9:30. Amen.